Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Hooked, the podcast where we give you all the plot hooks that you'll ever need in your role-playing games ever in your entire life. I am Zane C. Weber, here with...
Oh, wow, that was Dom Guilfoyle. You're just going to say here with, pause, then slowly turn to me.
the smallest little point.
Like just a strange energy we're starting off with. Hi, it's Dom Guilfoyle.
I'm also here with...
And me, Jonathan, I spoke earlier. How are we?
As in, are we okay? Like, is there any animosity between us?
There's a little animosity.
Is there some animosity?
There's a little animosity.
You jumped to animosity really quickly.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a weird vibe going around that maybe we need to deal with before we get into the show.
Yeah, I really don't know why I said how are we to an audience that can't reply.
In a weird turn of events, I've got a getting to know you question.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it how are we?
No, absolutely. Absolutely not.
Are you sure we need a getting to know you question?
No. I want to know specifically what gives you the right.
I've got a follow up. Getting to know you question. My question is, how the fuck dare you?
I'm very uncomfortable in this space right now. It's a lot of
where exactly do you get off?
Yep. Do I come down to the place where you work and knock the sailor's cocks out of your mouth? Yeah, anyway.
Stole it from fucking Jimmy Carr.
I did. I thought you would recognize that one. It's an old one. It's an oldie.
Yeah, like Jimmy Carr got it from vaudeville, so.
Yeah, hey, it's an old joke format.
Yeah.
Anyway, my getting to know you question, because Jonathan refused to come up with one.
Was unable to.
You kind of refused.
A bit of both.
And you'll see is somewhat related to the fucking card that we're working with this week. What's the last tool you used? What's the last time you used a physical tool?
That would have been when I used a hobby knife as a screwdriver to open my accordion and fix an issue inside of it.
Uh-huh. And could you be less of a stereotype?
What's a hobby knife?
It's like those little pen knives that you use to like trim plastic models for Gundams and stuff like that.
Like with a wooden handle with a replaceable little blade in the end?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. No. I just call them razors. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Or a stencil knife. Yeah.
I used a screwdriver putting a bed together.
Yeah.
Mine will have been also probably a screwdriver, but it would have been on my Leatherman, which I have because at one point I used to work in theatre, and theatre's dead now, but, you know, I have a Leatherman.
It may come back.
You used a screwdriver on your Leatherman or used a
My Leatherman has a screwdriver.
Right, yeah.
That would have been the most recent attachment. I mean, it's a lie. The most recent attachment on the Leatherman would have been the bottle opener. Let's not get into that.
I mean, we're all friends here, except for Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan's on the ass.
What?
I kind of want to get to know Jonathan less, actually.
I value both of you a lot.
Hey, Zane, what are we doing here?
What we're doing is we're taking inspiration from a Magic the Gathering card and a random word to generate three pristine, brand new plot hooks for you to use in your role-playing games if you so choose. Now, the Magic the Gathering card that we've chosen is one with a lot of character and not a lot of flavor text.
It's the best Magic card to ever exist.
All right, that's a big call. Let's see if that works. We are dealing with the Hammer Jammer.
I think you'll find it's pronounced the Hammer Jammer.
Hammer Jammer.
Yeah.
We are definitely going in like the Games Workshop sort of style of goblin here, but I'm here for us.
Yeah, so it's a goblin warrior.
Is there a different type of goblin?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Like a Lord of the Rings sort of goblin. They're not so much into the gadgetry and that sort of thing.
That's true.
Or like a thief, thievy goblin.
Yeah.
That's
In some popular fantasy things, they're used as an anti-Semitic stereotype.
Yeah,
that's
we won't
a shame.
Mention any names, but you
we
know.
Won't mention any fucking names.
Or like Harry Potter.
Exactly, Harry Potter. We won't get mentioned that, but yeah.
And this artwork is by Wayne Reynolds. Does anyone want to describe what we're looking at here?
Your turn, Jonathan.
It's a lovely little goblin with some big pointed ears and some piercings with what can best be described as a contraption attached to his back. That's a series of hammers being spun at rapid speed by some cogs on it.
Yeah, and the hammers are just flying off because it's poorly made. Presumably, some of them are supposed to come flying off as part of the weapon, but it's impossible to tell because it's inscrutable goblin gadgetry. Yeah. It's got a big old smile on its stupid face. It's loving it. There's another goblin nearby that's being like, what the fuck are you doing? But the most important element that I thought that you guys might miss is that this goblin, the main goblin on here, has some big, saggy goblin titties.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
This is actually a batissed goblin, and... Like, they're saggy, but also full, and good for them.
Yeah.
Really, you're using some striking imagery here, with your words.
I'm a writer.
A wordsmith.
I am painting a verbal picture for the audience.
Yeah, okay.
I will paint a verbal picture of Jonathan for the audience. Looks like they would play the accordion and has a set of cat ears at home.
Only one
looks
of those
like
is-
someone who in the near future will be buying and perhaps wearing a maid's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of those is true for sure.
looks like they would host a podcast where they rate Vocaloids.
That was also guaranteed.
Yeah, okay. And the word...
Why is this dunk on Jonathan Day?
You earned it.
You're here.
Yeah.
Is it because I'm so positive?
I mean, yeah, but also Dom and I struggle to make fun of each other, so...
Yeah, Zane and I work too closely together on projects that actually make money, unlike this show. So it's important to not harm our working relationship.
Yeah. You need a communal punching bag.
Yeah,
that you can
exactly.
Just...
We're punching down.
Yeah.
That's right. You're down to us. And the word
is inhibition,
yep.
Which we seem to have all lost all inhibition with this episode.
We're punchy, I think.
This is me being fairly inhibited, actually. Let's be real. I'm a bastard.
So who would like to go first? We will present our hooks in the form of a magic trick. We'll start with a pledge, which is this is the basic idea, and then we'll move on to the turn where we will also name our hook.
Shit.
Where we'll turn it into something a little bit more substantial, something you might like to play with. And then finally, in the Prestige, we talk about how you can incorporate it into a game, how your players might interact with it. So, Jonathan,
yes.
You...
I just came up with the name. Give me a second. So, this is sort of a long-term story that I'm putting forward. And this, the first part, the pledge, comes quite early in the campaign, in which the party are given a fairly simple quest to help a goblin handyman who wants to make some tools to make his job a bit easier, fixing up that sort of stuff. And he just wants, a gem or something like that. You know, just a small item, pretty easy to get, no real dramas. And that's it for my pledge. Just a simple early quest.
All right.
Just a normal guy with a quest for
just,
you.
Just having a normal time.
What a pledge. I'll go next.
Please.
So the party are summoned. They're in a region where there is a large goblin community nearby. Like, you're in a sizable town. Presumably you've stopped by. Maybe, ideally you might maybe establish this area before, earlier in the campaign, so you know there are goblins nearby. Maybe you've interacted with them before. And just a couple of nights ago, maybe even last night, the party is alerted to the fact that last night the goblins had a big celebration. It was like an important day of the year for the goblins. What do you call that?
Celebration? An anniversary?
I don't know. Like one of those sort of things. It's an important day on the calendar for the goblins, and they celebrated by getting really drunk. They had a great
festival.
Festival. There we go. And they all got really drunk, and then they woke up in the morning and they'd gotten very drunk and had built a gigantic contraption that they're concerned might be some kind of doomsday device.
Well, unfortunately, you've stolen a lot of what my hook was going to be.
Look, it's a very evocative card.
So what we're going to do is I envision that this contraption that the goblin on here is wielding is actually an heirloom. It's an heirloom that has been passed down from generation to generation. And that's kind of the thing. Like, it keeps popping up. Like, maybe it's a recurring group of goblins that keep coming up against the party, and each of them, carry this heirloom that they kind of, like... is really kind of painful, but always, like, as soon as it's damaged, they run away. They take it and they get away. Even if you kill the person holding it, they'll kill the goblin holding it, they'll take it away. And that's kind of my pledge.
And at some point, maybe they'll realize it's a bad weapon because they keep getting killed while wielding it, who's to say?
No, I think it's the perfect weapon, actually.
Perfect weapon for someone else to be wielding.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go on to the turns.
So I think the quest goes down without a hitch. Really no dramas. And then the party goes off on their merry way.
Really interesting game.
I know, right? It's like
no conflict at all.
And the party go off on their merry way, no issues. And then this is where the long-term story comes into it. I want there to be some backtracking in this campaign. The players got to come back the way that they came. Changes in the towns that they've been through, that kind of stuff. You know, lots of fun storytelling, that kind of thing. What happens as they enter the town with the goblin handyman is they start noticing that a bunch of the buildings have like just planks nailed to them out of nowhere, and there's like holes being struck through walls and that kind of stuff, and something has passed through here and done some serious damage. And in the distance they can hear the whirring of machinery and a single scream.
Okay, sure.
Is that the whole turn?
I feel like you're holding a lot back for the prestige.
I'm saving a bit for the prestige. Okay.
Well, what are we calling it?
In need of a hand. Because he's a handyman.
You know, I get it. Yeah, I understood.
I have a gimmick and it's a bad one. So,
I mean, it's also it's often been my gimmick, but I do it well.
I know, but the gimmick is to do it badly.
Okay, so in mine, the party, like, they go to the goblin encampment because they've been summoned by a goblin, hopefully one they know already, who's just like, oi, adventurers, we got a problem we need your help with. It's like, they're that kind of goblin, you know?
Yeah.
But they see what the problem is before they reach town, because Jesus Christ, these goblins, in their wild debauchery, you know, a lot of, in some civilizations you have just like an orgy, in some like you have like bloodletting. These guys, they've built a skyscraper of teetering skyscraper of scrap, of rusting scrap, and your bits whirring and spinning, and like as they're approaching, a bit just goes and like lands in the earth near them, and they're just like, and the golems are just like, we don't know what it does, but we do know we can detect. We seem to have misplaced some of our more potent fissile materials. And we can detect that they are at the top of it, and we think we can spot some booster rockets attached to the top of it. So, not sure where it's targeting, but if you guys could pop up there, and switch it off, that would be balmy.
Or go and fetch us enough alcohol that we're drunk enough to remember what we did.
Yeah, that's an alternate solution. So yeah, it's the gargantuan goblin Gizmo Ganza.
How am I meant to spell that?
It spells how it sounds.
All right, okay, excellent. Okay, so with mine, I think what we're going to do here is, as this, for whatever reason, these goblins have a vendetta against your party, I think you run up against a...
At some point, they got the vendetta because you kept killing their ancestors. Just like, maybe the first couple, it was just a coincidence, but from that point on, it was because you are the fucking devil to this family.
But usually, like, after you've killed a few people, they'll stop chasing you and actively throwing their bodies on your weapons.
No, I don't know. if your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather, this is like Agrajag in the Hitchhiker's books, where just, like, Arthur Dent keeps fucking killing him.
Yeah, but it's like if dad walks into a room and dies, and then my brother walks into a room and dies, and then my uncle walks into a room and dies, and then my mother walks into a room. I'm probably just not going to walk into the room.
I thought it was going to end with, I simply must walk into the room.
But what I think happens is you come across a new set of goblins that aren't the ones that you've been fighting, but they also have something similar to this.
Please tell me theirs is more effective.
Absolutely. And basically, you come across, you either get involved with or whatever, but it becomes a vendetta between these two goblin clans because they want to get to you, but this other goblin clan wants to get to you. And then they see that they each have one of these devices, which is basically a totem that stores the souls of their ancestors. Every ancestor basically donates their hammer to the hammer jammer. And then their soul is stored within it, and they're the ones that are compelling you to avenge them, exactly like you said.
Sort of the eternal hammer jam that's happening in there, yeah.
Yes, the eternal hammer jam. And look, we'll
as
just
we
call
all
it
say,
that.
The eternal hammer jam, yeah.
well known.
Mm-hmm. It's so like it's just like in Snowpiercer, the train is being pulled along by the eternal hammer jam.
The eternal hammer jam. It's just the dance of all the children in the engine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going to be my turn. Is that this is kind of an invention by goblins to honor their ancestors, but now they're kind of being pushed under the heel of their ancestors because of the power of the eternal hammer jam.
Yeah.
That they have
infinite
to do.
Non-stop eternal hammer jam.
Yeah, because like these are the only real way you can repel a goblin is usually not with logic, but with like punishment. But like, how do you punish a hammer?
Take away all its nails.
Philosophical. Whoa. Getting hit with the big thoughts today.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to the Prestige.
Prestige. So the party goes further into the city and they approach the screaming because that's what all parties do. They go towards the screaming.
You've got to.
Yeah. And they find the handyman encased in what can best be described as like a whirlwind of hammers. It's this just contraption that once again that he is just fully surrounded by and cannot get out of. And he is the single voice that you hear screaming, just spinning around in circles as hammers fly out in all sorts of directions and nails and that kind of stuff. And that's when I have to bring up the backstory of what's happened while the player's mm-hmm. gone, that they mm-hmm. get to discover once they have helped this man. Which is that basically it started off that he was going to make an auto hammer with this. Because, you know, that's an invention every goblin needs is an auto hammer.
Like sure. Homer Simpson's hammer.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't intending it for it to be a Simpsons reference.
But it is.
Here we are.
But we got there.
But all the different villagers started coming up to them and going, oh, I also need this done. And also I need this done. And the little handyman, knowing like the power of whatever you've got in him, this power supply is like, oh, I can add that to it. And feature creep set in. And so it just kept getting more and more complex until he finally turned it on and just fully lost control of it, because there was no way that he could handle the auto hammer, hacksaw, pliers, like everything it was. It's basically a machine powered multi-tool that you ride inside of, and it's about as chaotic as you'd expect from that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they discover. Basically, you just got to get him out of that without killing him, which would be
what
fun.
What if he dies?
We don't find out any of that, and the DM is very sad. Find notes in his household that tells them that like a Kickstarter update log. There's the creep, the feature creep sets in.
You find a long lost wiki of your campaign. Yeah, yeah. What could have happened?
Yeah.
It's the Kickstarter. The whole campaign is actually, it turns out in hindsight, is a Kickstarter that got out of hand.
This project just needs some kickstarting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the gargantuan
The gargantuan goblin gizmo ganza. What's
okay? Yeah, the
about
gargantuan
that?
Gonzo
goblin
goblin gizmo. Yeah.
Like, it's a gizmoganza. It's like an extravaganza, but of gizmos.
Okay. Yeah, right.
The gargantuan the gizmoganza. Goblin gizmoganza. Of course. It's the most normal sentence in the world.
I'm genuinely impressed at how quickly you can say that.
Gargantuan goblin gizmoganza.
I challenged you.
And gargantuan goblin gizmoganza. Gargantuan goblin gizmoganza. Gargantuan goblin gizmoganza.
I'm
bitch.
Sorry.
Trying to fuck you up.
Anyway.
I think you do have to pay a fine now.
Yeah.
Of what?
I don't know. This is between you and Dom.
There's a price.
But I am interested in where this goes in the Prestige.
Now you have to marry your mother-in-law. Sorry. Anyway.
What?
Like you, like I did, I said it three times fast. Now you have to marry your mother-in-law. Anyway.
Is it a guided missile? Like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, more or less, but also because it's Goblin Make, so the party has to climb up. Because it's Goblin Make, it's completely, it's a giant, most of the tower is a launch platform for the missile.
Mm-hmm.
So the party has to fight their way up. It's like a dungeon, but a tower. And on the way up, a lot of, like, there are encounters and stuff, mostly with, like, other things that, like, the goblin, like, they disassembled an automata or something, and it's, like, half encased into the door they need to open and that sort of thing.
Rust monster nest.
Yeah, there's a rust monster nest.
Finding rust monsters on like a cliff face.
Yeah, it's halfway up a fully metal tower, and it's just like, how did these even get here? And the goblins are just like, I just genuinely don't remember.
It's unclear.
Sorry. And yeah, there are traps that aren't even this is a moderately comedy sort of thing. I'm imagining like a fire pit, but actually it's a toaster oven that they've just incorporated into the thing, yeah. Sort of thing. You've got the corridor of like the giant metal stampers they have to get through. And it's just like, why did you build this into it? And the goblins are like, honestly, I'm so sorry. This is just we don't know why we did this.
It's like, honestly, I'm so sorry, but I love this. I've got to. Honestly, you just get me the schematics if you find them anyway.
Yeah, like we are going to build this again, but better once you're done disarming this thing.
There's this video game. I can't remember what it's called, but it's very like a 60s sci-fi inspired like goofy comedy thing. The whole thing is meant to look like a fake sci-fi show.
Yeah.
But there's this one scene where you're walking through the area and you see just a monkey pushing a crank. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I just got to keep doing this. It's got to be important, surely. Okay. And you make it to like second highest layer of the tower that you're going up, and it's like a fruit bowl that's rotating or some shit like that.
Yeah, that sounds like a Sam and Max sort of thing.
Yeah. Or
Monkey Island, that sort of vibe.
I really like the idea that there is this impending doom at the top of this tower that you have to do, and that's like the main mission.
Yeah,
but there are also like components that you have to salvage along the way, and that's what you get rewarded for.
Yeah, that's
down
fun
at the
idea
bottom.
As well. Like the less damage you do to this tower, because as you're building it, the goblins are just like, "This is our best work. Like,
you can't fuck this up."
We're sorry. Clearly, this thing is dangerous, but
we need it.
We can probably get some VC funding if we can keep this thing intact. Like you generally have a possibility to like help the future of goblin kind if you can keep this thing intact.
I would genuinely love to see a goblin operational health and safety report. I think it'd be very good fun.
Yeah, like lots much more
incidents nailed to the bottom of it.
Yeah, lots more incidences of the word splattered than most OHS things. Just like causes of death. He got properly fucked up.
You can tell there's a point where they got a thesaurus and started looking up synonyms for splatter.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the gargantuan goblin Gizmo Ganza.
All right, well, back to the Eternal Hammer Jam. So I think the point of this, of bringing in the second one of these, is to basically show the party that this isn't a one-off and that this problem is not just about them, but it's about goblins in general. So it's about solving the problem of the goblins that feel like they are enslaved by their ancestors, basically where they're forced to do this, their bidding, and they can't say no. So I guess, and making a different outcome for each of the different ways you could do it. So like if you have a particularly religious campaign, you could banish the spirits and the engines just fall quiet and the goblins go on their way. If you have a diplomatic campaign, you could talk with the goblins and their ancestors and try to make a better society where this is an engine that drives their settlements rather than a weapon that attacks their enemies.
That a future campaign set in that same world can come across the goblin city powered by a soul engine and then have to contend with that.
Exactly. Right. Or if your partner is just like, no, we've got to punch it till it dies, and then they just punch it till it dies, and then they earn the enmity of these goblins who they've destroyed the souls of their ancestors and like turn it into a bigger problem.
Great.
Like you can solve it or you can turn it into a bigger problem.
And then like that is a 50-50 split between most party members, I think, that you're setting up there.
I mean, well, that's the thing. You can get rid of the problem and let the goblins do their own thing. You could engage with the goblins and have like a good outcome, or you can have a big fight and either die or have goblin armies chasing after you. Okay, well, those are our three hooks. I had the Eternal Hammer Jam. Jonathan,
in need of a hand,
and the Gargantuan Goblin Gizmo Ganza.
The Gargantuan Goblin Gizmo Ganza from Dom.
Who else could it fucking be from?
If you would like to use any of these in your own game, please feel free and let us know how you do that and how it goes. We're on Twitter and Instagram. As always, Hooked is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License, which means that you're free to share and redistribute the material in any medium or format if you give the appropriate credit and don't use the material for commercial purposes, and do not remix, transform, or build upon the material in any way unless you let us know first. So yeah, let us know if you want to use these, if you, or if you do use them in your own games. And if you have any art that you would like to submit, reach out to us. Twitter's probably the best place to do that. Or on our email at hooked.podcast@gmail.com. Let me just check that email address. I just doubted myself there. Podcast.hooked@gmail.com.
All right.
We'll be back same time next week, maybe. I've been Zane C. Weber here with...
Dom Guilfoyle. I am the creator of a show called The Mistome Museum of Mystery, Morbidity, and Mortality. It's a spooky fantasy audio drama, sometimes anthology thing that I make that people like, apparently. It's people compare it to the Magnus Archives and Welcome to Night Vale and that sort of thing. So if you like those, maybe you'll like my show. Or maybe you won't. I'm not your fucking dad. Jesus Christ.
It's true.
Please listen.
I don't think Dom is your dad. So also here was...
It's me, Jonathan. You can find me on Twitter at PirateKilljoy and also on the podcast Razorloid, which exists, where we review Vocaloids.
Because who else is going to do it?
No one. It's all my right. job.
Keep playing games, everyone.
Yeah. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.